Hello, welcome to the Tuesday Night Discussion Group. This is July the 8th, 2014. We hope everybody had a good 4th of July. I know I did. The fireworks are going off everywhere here in Austin. Anyway, we'll be studying again tonight from God Does Not Want You in Pain. It's a book that I myself, Eric Watson, and Walt Oletsky wrote. And we're in the second week of the Basically, the unsaid chapter 11 here is TMSPS, and it's full of a lot of good stuff. And I went over last week how we all put together our own methods in our journeys. We all had different styles and different teachings and different lessons and different thoughts as we grew up. We learned different things in life, and so, you know, every one of us is going to learn different ways to get better. Maybe in the end, most of it all comes together as the same thing. But, you know, really, you learn from all these different angles and these different perspectives, and you put them all together. And then you find out your own journey. So that's pretty much what we've been talking about. We've been putting them together like that last week, the week before, and now again here this week. And we'll continue tonight, and we're going to talk a lot more in this hour than we've been talking about, because I want everyone to get in their minds what TMS healing is all about, okay? Because you hear it's about so many different things. You hear it's about fear. You hear it's about anger. You hear it's about everything. And you're like, well, what I do? You have to find out what's best for you. That's the key, okay? And with that being said, I do need to let everyone know that we are a peer support group. We're not medical or mental health professionals, so we do advise before starting this or any program to see your doctor or a TMS physician. And tonight and every night, guys, we're representing our own opinions and not necessarily the opinions of the PPD TMS, okay? I have to say that just so we all stand clear. And okay, Walt, that'll be it, buddy.
Okay. Well, this final chapter of our book is kind of two things. It's a chop suey of things that we didn't have, we weren't sure where to put in the main book, and also sections that reinforce what we said before in the book in different chapters. Kind of a summary chapter, and one section of it we wanted to reiterate the basic philosophy of the book and of Dr. Sarno in a section we called The Best Plan for TMS Healing. So some people have posted questions, what is the best way to heal with TMS? And this section summarizes the book that Dr. Sarno wrote called The Mind-Body Prescription, Healing the Body, Healing the Pain. And it refers to a video lecture that he gave about the book, which we are summarizing in these five and a half pages. And he gives us the basic blueprint for what causes our pain, the repressed emotions, or our personality. And it's a two-hour lecture who is going to tell us that all of our pain, if we have had a doctor say they can't find the cause, or even if the doctor says, yeah, you got a herniated disc, that may not have really caused the pain. It's a lot of people have herniated discs and other back problems, and they have no pain. So why would somebody who's diagnosed, you know, with an MRI, with having a herniated disc in their back, why would they not have pain while others do? So Dr. Sarno says those who still have pain after they've had medical treatment and maybe even surgery, if they still have the pain, he believes that the cause is what he calls tension myocystis syndrome, TMS, which is caused by our repressed emotions of anger and rage that often go back to our childhood. And a lot of people say, yeah, but I feel like I had a happy childhood. Did you really? If you really look into it, was it as terrific and happy as you think it was? You may have been repressing the actual fact that there were stresses there. And mine go back to the Great Depression of the 1930s. Other people's repressed childhood may go back to the World War II years, no matter where they were in the world. We were all stressed by that war, and we had loved ones who were in the war. Some came back, some didn't. So whatever your age, it's worth it to go back into your childhood. I did that through journaling, which is another thing that Dr. Sarno suggests. But he, in his book and his video, he tells us to study the 13 steps to recover from TMS. And that's what we do in this chapter. And he calls, he asks us to reread those 13 steps every day. Even after we've healed, we should read them every day. And several people have posted recently that they find it very beneficial to set a half hour aside each day, as Sarno suggests, to go over those 13 points. And so this section suggests everybody do that, because it's the key to healing. And so that's one section that we feel was very important to repeat in our book. Let me go over those very briefly, because it could take up quite a bit of time. First, you have to believe that your problem is not physical. Your back or whatever part of your body is giving you pain is normal. You have to acknowledge in the second step that the pain that you have is psychological. And three, accept the logic of the psychology that it's normal. Focus on the psychological, not the physical. Don't think about the pain. Think about the emotions that could have caused it. In four, he says, make a written list of the pressures and stresses you're under. Put at the top of the list your personality characteristics. Most people with TMS pain are perfectionists. And boy, that gives them a lot of pain, and their loved ones a lot of pain. Follow the TMS healing techniques in his book, the 12 Daily Reminders, on page 82 of his book, Healing Back Pain. Repeat them a few times daily. Repetition is very important in helping to reprogram the conscious mind. I look at it as almost like a form of self-hypnosis. The more you condition your mind that this is psychological and not physical, you kind of hypnotize yourself to believe that, and make it your main goal to believe that. Then resume normal physical activity. This doesn't necessarily mean going to the gym if that's going to give you pain. It means normal physical activity. If you're working, go to work. Despite the pain, go to work. Walk through the pain. Sit through the pain. Resume normal activities at home. Keep cleaning the house. Keep mowing the lawn. Keep shoveling the snow, using a snowblower on the snow. Keep doing what you normally do, cook, clean the dishes, things like that. Moderate exercise is okay, even if it's painful. Start slowly. Exercise a little at a time. Wait until the pain is almost gone before doing anything more heavily physical. Believe you're going to cure yourself, the eighth point. You cannot hurt yourself. You're not going to make your pain worse. You're going to make it better by keeping active. Set aside a half hour each day to read and think about your personality and other things that are causing you to be angry. If in the tenth point, if pain is severe, Sarno says it's okay to use some pain-killing medication because it reduces the pain so that you can concentrate on your TMS healing. But he says, do not use any tranquilizers or anti-inflammatory drugs. They can take away your belief that your pain is not structural, but psychological. Some people say, well, why? I've done this every day for months or so, and I still have the pain. Dr. Saunders says, most people will be cured in 3 to 4 weeks of practicing TMS healing. But for others, it can take several months or longer. Don't try to focus on how long it will take to heal. You'll heal in your and God's own time. You don't have to change your personality to get better. All you do have to do is maybe change it a little moderately. Another one is discard all fears, such as fear of having a structural abnormality like a herniated disc. Don't worry and fear. Those just add to your pain. Just keep clean. Keep believing that you're going to be pain-free. He concludes with saying, becoming pain-free is all about shifting your attention from the physical pain to the emotional issues causing it. The process may take time. Be patient and work at it daily. Then you will heal. In my case, 2 years ago, I started having severe back pain because I lifted something the wrong way. Well, that was painful, very painful, but it was a blessing because it led me to try to find out what caused the pain. And I contacted a nurse that I have, a friend, a nurse in Hawaii. She said, read Dr. Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain, or the other book that he's written, The Mind-Body Prescription. And she led me to learn about Dr. Sarno's philosophy of TMS. And as soon as I started to think about that and believe it, my pain, even at night while I was in bed, I had back pain. And I told myself, this is not structural, it's psychological. I've got to work on my repressed emotions. And just starting to think in that direction began my healing process. And the more I worked on the repressed emotions, and I have a perfectionist personality, and other people that I know have too, the pain started to go away. It didn't happen overnight. And especially about 10% of the pain remained after several months. And then I had to convince myself it's repressed emotions and my personality. It's not physical. Once you believe it 100%, then you heal. But it has to be a total belief in it. You can find the website about this 2-hour lecture about Dr. Sarno and the mind-body prescription. I could read it here, but it's too long. If you just go on the web and look up Dr. Sarno and his book, it'll lead you to that website of his 2-hour video. And there are other shorter videos. in which he also discusses his philosophy of TMS. And we recommend that very, very strongly. I guess I've covered it, the main thing I wanted to say in the book in the closing chapter.
Good. Well, it was great, Walt.
Thank you, buddy. Anybody got questions?
Yeah, there was one, let me see. It's about when you get better and when you start accepting that it's 100%, that you're 100% better. So you'll heal up after you understand that it's all TMS and you don't associate any structural problem with it, right?
That's one of the main things. Right.
Okay.
That's one of the main things, and it's one of the things a lot of people have trouble with. They're not quite ready to give up that it's structural, because they remember they lifted something the wrong way, or the MRI says you got a bad, a herniated.
It makes me think about the personality traits, Walt, you know? And we know that the only people we can be is us. I mean, I can't be you, and you can't be me. And we can't be who we were born not to be. But we grow up and we're born and we get certain personality traits like somebody says, well, he's a shy boy, you know? Or somebody says, well, she just stays angry all the time. Or somebody might say, well, you know, he's paranoid or something like that. And these traits, when you mention the traits of paranoia and the traits of anger, now, those traits we do have to be reconditioned from and change, right?
Well, yes. But I also think that we have to learn how to deal with the personality traits of those around us.
Yes.
Your boss, your coworkers, your wife, your husband, your children, their personality traits will rub off on you. and if you try to put yourself in their shoes to think they are perfectionists, they are goodists, and they're expecting you to be as perfect and as good as they are.
Yeah, yeah. And they're putting as much
you have to learn how to adjust to their personality.
Yeah, some people can put as much pressure, if not more, than you put. Well, I don't know if more, but they can put as much pressure on you as you do yourself.
Oh, yeah. They can put even more. I work for a book publisher, and he is what I call a perfectionist. This guy, I'm writing for him, and God help you if you put in a comma where he wants a semicolon. Holy Christ, he practically goes crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Walt, I told you to do that 100 times. Yeah, but it's stupid to care, for him to care about that. I try, to be perfect. And if finally I gave up, I just thought to myself, do the best you can.
Exactly.
Dealing with that kind of person. But don't let it stress me out, trying to live up to his demands for perfectionism. And I think that's as important as dealing with your own perfectionists.
Yeah, because our self-imposed pressure, say like as if I got mad at somebody I was working for, and when we got done talking, because maybe he said he didn't like a comma where I put it or something, and when I hung that phone up, if I took that anger with me throughout the day, then I'm only harming myself, right? So I have
to learn to reframe
it, laugh at it, release it, do something to get that
out
of my back.
I would get so angry,
right?
I would yell, I would scream, not at him, but I'd hang the phone up and then I would scream that he was causing me such stress by being so demanding.
Yeah.
And I said, stop demanding perfection. And he would never admit that he did. He would say, I just want it to be done right.
Yeah.
Well, what that meant was, do it his way, his perfect way. So I finally learned to do what I can, to do the best I can. And I would, if he complained again, I'd say, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying.
You know, it makes me think about some of the self-imposed pressures we can get from our friends and from our family and loved ones.
Sure.
You know, I remember I took my son to the fair one year, and I specifically told him to stay with me. I think he was about 7 years old. And I think it was about a week before that, I watched this movie where the guy lost his son. So I was already, you know, entertaining my fears. But anyway, I was keeping my son real close to me, and next thing I know, he wasn't there anymore. It took me about 4 hours to find out where he was at with his nephew.
Whoa,
off
that's
land.
Scary.
Well, I was about to have a heart attack and die, you know, there at the fair,
sure,
worried about my son.
Sure, that worry.
And, this is before I learned about TMS healing, but and what our thoughts and self-imposed pressures can do to us. But at the same time, and plus, you know, add my own traits to that of goodism and perfectionism, and I shouldn't have lost my son. But at the same time, how would you have reacted any different way, you know?
No, I know. You're justified in worrying in a situation like that.
I think you know, if I was to went through it right now, the difference would be my autonomic nervous system would be a lot more cool, a lot more calmer. I would be visualizing in my mind that I was fixing to find my son right around that corner. You know, instead of entertaining the fears that he's hurt and he's dead, I would be, you know, thinking I'm fixing to find him right here. And this is where the meditations, the mindfulness and stuff like that would come into hand. Because I've had some situations, not nothing dire like that, you know. And of course, at the end of the night, it wasn't no big situation anyway, because he was running around with his nephew. But in the meantime, it was huge, you know.
Sure.
But I would handle it different. But like you said, there's still situations where, you know, something like that. I think you're in fight mode then, right? We got fight, flight, freeze modes.
Yeah.
Kind of between fight and freeze.
Right.
I was wanting to take off flying too at the same time, so I didn't know which one I was going from. I was in it was a polarization moment. Anyway, anybody got anything to talk about self-imposed pressures that, you know, could be causing, you know, some TMS in your life, whether it's anxiety or pain?
Well, I like the reminder to, you know, to take the time every day to write out what those pressures might be. Because half the
awesome.
Time I start writing and I'm like, well, I don't really have anything. And then I start writing, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I feel the stress on this. I feel the stress on that.
Yeah, you know? it can really open up the memory.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really
good. And that's why we've got the pain, because we've repressed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Good. Well, Herbie, I know you've got a lot more to cover. Why don't you go ahead?
Well, you know, who was that just spoke?
Molly, not Time Coach.
Hey, Molly, how you doing?
Hi.
On Time Coach.
Hi, Molly.
Hi.
You know, you mentioned about writing stuff down, and I was thinking to myself about journaling. And a lot of us will journal about our emotional situations, and whether it be from childhood up, so that we can get those aha moments, so that we can find out what is it that I'm unconsciously doing that, you know, will maybe come through my hand, through my thoughts here, that, you know, I can pick up on, that I can work on changing or whatever it might be. That was it in my case. In my case, I learned a lot about my personality traits through the journaling, which is the whole idea you get from Dr. Sarno's books. But there was more to the journaling than just learning about the personality traits, learning about the stressors, learning about the emotions, you know, and learning why you do what you do. There was actually feel the feelings, you know. And there's one part of journaling where you can journal and you look at it and you pay attention to what it is. But there's another part where you can get the emotion and you can look at it for what it is and then you feel it in your body. like the mindfulness or the Eugene Gillen's focusing. Does anybody ever try to do that? Like my point is, you can't think of what. So you might be journaling, or you might be going to, like you was mentioning earlier, Molly. Like you pick up a pen that morning, you get to writing so much, and you think to yourself, "Well, I ain't got nothing else to write about. That's pretty much it." And have you ever had one of those days where you just kind of get stuck?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And then that's when you, right at that moment, that's when you should, you know, just focus on the emotions that's in the body, you know. See what they feel like. Don't judge them, don't criticize them, you know, and all that. Just be with the emotion. And it will usually dissipate. But I've had a time or two, you know, because, I mean, I want to be just as truthful with everything as I can be. But I've had a time or two that emotion didn't just dissipate, you know? And it's not like every time you do it, where you sit with the emotion and float through it, kind of like Claire Weeks talks about. See, I combine teachings like mindfulness and floating and Eugene Gillen's focusing. I can put all three of those together and I can say just sit there and focus on what you're feeling. You know, like in the Alan Gordon program, he says focus on your feelings. And what's your feelings? Your emotions. Focus on your emotions. So somebody's having an emotion of anger. And somebody picks a pencil up and they want to write in their journal, you know, what am I angry about? Well, have you ever got, you know, felt fear? Have you ever felt anger? Have you ever felt, you know, one of the negative emotions and you just didn't know what it was because it was, you know, unconscious to you exactly what the words could be? So you focus on it at that time. That's what I do. I just wanted everyone to know that that's a good time to focus on that feeling. Let it be there without judgment and stuff. And about 90% of the time, it'll go ahead and dissipate. And if it doesn't, you know, right off dissipate, it eventually leave you. It eventually go, you know. But at the same time, be in mindfulness. You know, when I say mindfulness, kind of be in a meditation, you know, where you relax the body from the head to the feet. You know, do some breathing, get yourself calmed down, and then go into it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Has anybody ever tried that? Has anybody ever tried that while you're journaling, and then you can't go no further with the journaling, but you still feel the emotion, so instead of reframing it right then and going to a good emotion, you start focusing on the negative emotion?
Well, I ended up doing that through work, you know, and it was amazing how much resistance I had to feeling the anger, because, oh, that's a bad emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had to work through each layer of going, well, you know what, it's just a feeling, you know,
uh-huh.
And then just write it out just without any editing. I'm mad and being like a screaming little kid.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how much freedom I got from that, because I, you know, became aware of how much I hold that in, because it's not, you know, it's not a good feeling for a goodist.
yeah, that's me. I'm a goodist. I'm a number one goodist. Well, I like that. That's a good story, and it's the truth. And there's another way, you know, as you're journaling, and me and Walt, we've all mentioned this plenty of times, as you get done journaling, you know, if you're a journaler, some of us just use our imagination, you know, and you think about a situation, and then you change the situation. You can do it this way. You can change the situation the way you would have wanted it to be, because your memories are your memories, and they're in the past, and they're really not real no more. Like, we're sitting here on the they're real to you and your emotions, and you've been through it, yes. But see, we're sitting here on the mics tonight and on the phones. And, you know, that memory is long gone. It's from the past. And the only thing that's affecting you from that memory anymore is your memory of it and your emotion to that memory, you know?
Yeah.
So there is ways that, like, you can journal something and then you can go in and you can change the memory the way you want it to be. Now that's a whole nother teaching that's in the earlier part of the books that I'm not going to go into. It's called reframing. You can do a swish with it. Y'all heard me talk about the swish a lot. But anyway, there's another part. It's called a reframe too. A reframe is a very broad word, y'all. But you go in and you look at it for what it is. You journal it all out, and then you sit over and you think, well, how can I look at this the best way? The best way that I can look at this. The best way that I can make this out to be. And if you can look at it in a better way, then that's good. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes the situation is just so bad, you can't, just look at it in a different way. So that's when you go to your happy journal. That's when you go to your feel-good journal. And it's right then and there, and this actually does a swish. You go right, and you go ahead and start writing about a happy memory. You know, like the first time you had your child, when you saw your kid graduate, something, you went to Disneyland, something that made you feel real good. But that's just ideas on the journaling part, guys, because we know it takes thinking, you know. With knowledge therapy, you got your thinking cap on, and you have to, do the different variations, right? Has anybody got any different styles of journaling that they might do, they might want to talk about? Okay. What about triggers and stresses? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that other piece, too, with that reframing, which kind of is covered, I think, in this last part of your book, is that remembrance of having faith and using one's spirituality to help them reframe the situation, to make the memory or whatever bigger than what we can see as humans.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've done a lot of memories like that, Molly. I would go in and I would change the memories the way I wanted them to. I would see a part like where me and my brother got in a fight. I would go back and I would make the memory where I was hugging him and giving him a hug. And I would walk over to him in my imagination and actually give him a hug and shake hands with him. And actually, he would give me a high five back. And it would change the whole situation. The whole memory just totally changed right there. Because, see, I'm holding the memory in my body, in my mind. And when I go back into it and I change the memory the way I want it to be, because I'm holding it in there the way I want it to be anyway, so when I go in there and change it the way I want it to be, that's a type of reframe that's really helped me through a lot. But looking at it from a different perspective, like you was talking about just then, is one of the main things that I learned for like 10 years teaching and helping others get better with, just going through bad atrocities and things they had went through. I had learned to teach them, we called it acceptance. And it wasn't just accepting that you've been through something bad and trying to ignore it. It was trying to, look at the whole picture for what it is and what it could be and what it's really turned out, how it's made you a better person. Not maybe the situation, but look where you are now. And look where your past is, and look how much stronger you are, and so much like that. And I saw hundreds of people, hundreds, get better just through acceptance alone. So it's pretty powerful. Anybody else want to talk about acceptance? You guys know how I love the imagination, right? I mean, I really do. I have been really excited about, how strong the mind is to heal the body. Ever since I got better. I mean, I was excited about it from the very first night that I went out and started lifting weights when I read Dr. Sarno's book, and he said, that exercise wouldn't hurt me. And I came back in the next day. I didn't hurt that night, and I was lifting real heavy weights. I was scared to pick up a broomstick. But that night, after I read his book and I saw that part, went out there, started lifting weights, came back in the next day, felt good all day the next day, for the first time in over a year, didn't have no pain. 3 days went by, I still don't got no pain. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, this is the greatest gift in the world, and it really was. The thing was, I still had that reconditioning. I still had that reprogramming, So the first thought that would come to my mind, first thought that comes to most people's minds, what if it comes back? What if it comes back tomorrow? And lo and behold, you know, on the fourth or fifth day, there it was back. And I was hurting worse than ever, and I pretty much blamed it on the weights, and I shouldn't have been moving like that. But as I went on and I went on and I went on, I learned that we got these neural pathways. I learned that when you start doing something new by habit, and you put belief with it, and you believe, you know, in what we're teaching here in this TMS healing, because in my mind, we take the best of the best, we condense it, we bring it in and teach you what it is, and then we expand on it and go into it and tell you what it's all about. I mean, but when those new neural pathways start getting built, that's when the reconditioning phase, that's when the reconditioning is happening. And all of a sudden, you're going 3 or 4 days without pain, and you got 3 or 4 days with pain. And then everybody knows the rest of the story. You go on, and 4, 5, 6 months, a year later, you're feeling better. But then all of a sudden, well, you know, some people 2 years, 3 years later, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're feeling better, but then you got this anxiety all over you. And you're like, what am I going to do with this anxiety now? You know? But that's where, to me, even the anxiety is about, it's about the mindfulness meditation again, doing your deep breathing, practicing the things that it takes to keep your autonomic nervous system calm. You know, we went our whole lives not doing, we don't have to be Buddhist monks, but we went our whole lives not calming down this autonomic nervous system. And it sensitized our nerves. And so we have to reprogram. You know, I was still reconditioning after my pain went away. That's the good thing. After my pains went away, I've gotten mad. I've gotten angry. I've gotten upset. I've had all the negative emotions. I just look at things totally different now. I don't hold on to that anger. I don't hold on to that pain no more. You know? And in my mind, I also know I don't have to hold on to no physical pain. Like the other day, I was walking, and this pain went to my left foot. And I do not know what plantar fasciitis is, whatever that word. But I've heard a lot of people that has it. So all of a sudden, in my mind, this thought just pops in there. Plantar fasciitis. Am I saying that word right, Forrest? Anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm...
Fasciitis.
Okay, plantar fasciitis. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I joined around the time of acceptance. Thanks for agreeing.
Okay, buddy. But I knew, I knew at this level to go ahead, not focus on it, and it actually took... And then when I tell it to stop, I tell it mentally to stop, and then I would say peace, and I would send love to it. And I was doing all the methods, all the things that I had learned, and sending those messages to my foot. And I would imagine it going from my mind, this like little neural pathway going down my foot. Okay? It sounds funny, but anyway, I go by what I see and by what I know and by what's fact. So I'm sitting here and I'm doing this and I'm sending peace and love to it and I'm imagining, visualizing, and it takes about 10 days. It takes about 10 days for that pain to go away, but it goes away, you know? And now for about 3 or 4 days here, I haven't had any pain in that left foot, but still you had aches and pains before you ever got hurt, and then you got TMS. And then you heard you had TMS, and by the grace of God, you did that, because then you got a way out. Then you ain't under the power of, you know, doctors telling you won't ever walk again, doctors telling you you won't ever be able to do anything with your life again. You got your hope back, you know? So then you start learning all these things that you only thought was from I only thought it was from all the books I studied. I didn't know there was a Dr. Sarno that is actually teaching this. You know, I didn't know Forrest had a TMS wiki going on over here. I didn't know that I was going to run into all the great friends and people that I'm talking to right now. I didn't know I was going to be able to expand my mind and know that I could heal myself with my mind. So, you know, even now, though, and that was the first pain I've had in months and months. But even now, if I get a little bit of pain, I know exactly what to do. It's like you just get better and better and better and better, okay? And I think one of the things that holds us back, guys, is the frustration. The frustration that we're not already where we're supposed to be, And by golly, I need to be there quicker, you know? So, you know, like Walt said earlier, let the time have her way, you know? Be patient, you know, with your perseverance and hang in there. And eventually you'll run across something. Eventually you'll hear something. Or you'll just reprogram. Or you'll just recondition. The neural pathways that just sit in there and you got it. Like I said, I still had anxiety. I still had angers. I still was me, even after the pain left. So the reconditioning can take place. The pain can leave, even when you still do have certain reconditions that still have to happen. Okay? I want everybody to know that. But anyway, with that being said, has anybody got any questions before I go into this next story? Okay. In the book, there's a Dr. Charles Garfield, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I was talking about the imagination, the power of the mind, you know, and these neural pathways that we create when we start believing and thinking for certain things to happen for our bodies. But Dr. Charles Garfield, former NASA researcher and current president of the Performance Science Institute in Berkeley, California, talks about a startling experiment conducted by Soviet sports scientists. The study examined the effect of mental training, including visualization, on four groups of world-class athletes just prior to the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. Okay? And it goes like this. The first study group, did 100% physical training. Okay? The second group did 75% physical training and 25% mental training. The third group did 50% physical training and 50% mental training, okay? And the fourth group did 25% physical training and 75% mental training. And here's the thing, guys. The fourth group that did more mental training, they did better on their tests and scores than the people in the third group, okay? The people in the third group did better than the people in the second group. In other words, the people in the third group did more mental training than they did on their physical training. Okay? The people in the second group, if you remember, they did you know, pretty much 75% physical training, 25% mental training. But the third group did better, and they did more mental training. To make a long story short, the group that did 75% physical training 25% mental, 75% mental training and 25% physical training did better than the group that did 100% physical training. Okay? Now, you know, that's from 1980 now. That's 34 years ago. That's pretty powerful. That's a pretty powerful study to show us how far, you know, mental doing things with your mind has come, and wow. Has anybody got anything to say about that?
So tell me what sort of stuff did they do?
NASA research and current president of the Performance Science Institute in Berkeley, California, talks about a startling experiment conducted by Soviet sports scientists. And he doesn't say what type of sports they did. It was prior to the 1980 Olympics. They were world-class athletes. He didn't say what they did.
Well, farther down, you have down, during mental rehearsal, athletes create mental images of the exact movements they want to emulate in their sport.
I see.
Yeah, it's Walt. I mentioned before one of the other evenings that the Australian swimmer Murray Rose won 3 gold medals at the Olympics in 1956, I think it was. And he said it was because he focused on his swimming. He was in the present moment while he was in the pool, visualizing, putting his arms, you know, reaching in his arms and his legs, and just visualized himself swimming, and winning. And that he attributes that mainly because somebody else said there was another swimmer in those events who was actually faster, but he didn't have the mental control that Murray Rose had. The mindfulness of being in the present moment.
Yeah, thanks. I'm Googling it.
I mean, how many great, you know, sports people or whatever it might be. It ain't gonna be sports people, singers, anybody. Like I wrote in the book, when I used to be a wrestler, and when I was a wrestler, if I would focus on what the move was going to, or the set of moves was going to be before I'd done my match, then everything would come out perfect. But if while I was during a match, if I tried to pull off a move that I hadn't already practiced in my mind, then one of us would wind up getting hurt. So we had to always practice in our minds. We had to always know in our minds the move. Even if we practiced it before the show or not, we had to always know in our minds what we were going to do before we got in there and did it. We had to already see it played out in our minds, okay? And it was pretty amazing. And as I remember playing football, it was always like that. We always rehearsed it in our minds. You know, don't get me wrong. When you're playing football, you're going to run yourself half to death, and you're going to do the plays. But it's nothing like when you hit the football field. It's totally different. So that's sports though. But does anybody got, you know, like before the show tonight, I didn't do my hour ahead, my hour thinking into the future how the show was going to go. Because I figure I've done got good enough on here that I can do this without doing that, you know? And I can. But has anybody got, you know, a story or anything about something that you might have had to, you know, pretty much visualize before you did it? Because I think pretty much everything I do, you know, unless I'm just already used to it, right? Unless you're just used to it.
Well, I don't really have a story per se, but the TMS recovery, I think it just keeps helping me develop that skill, that mental training. Because, you know, I'm aware now, like when pain hits, how little mental control. I mean, I'm a lot better now, but before I knew about TMS healing, I had no mental control over any of it, over my thoughts or how I wanted to visualize it to be. And then when I had those moments of like no pain, it was like, oh good, okay, now I have something that I can sink my teeth in, I can remember it, and then I can visualize this, you know. But when when the pain was just nonstop in the beginning, I couldn't even remember what it felt like to be pain free. So those pain free moments were just like, oh okay, it fed my imagination, so then I really had something to go on.
Awesome.
It's Walt again. I'd like to mention something that we haven't brought up before. The title of our book is God Does Not Want You to Be in Pain. And we're saying either ask the Lord to help you to heal, because I know that has helped me and Herbie in our healing, Eric. And also, if you're not religious, you just have faith that you're going to heal, and that'll help you to heal. We were talking a little while ago that some people have a little trouble meditating and focusing when they're in pain, or how to lower the level of anxiety and worry that we have. Well, 2 weeks ago, I started the daily habit of saying the rosary. It takes 20 minutes to a half hour, and it's really been amazing. If I'm in a stressful situation, or have anxiety, saying the rosary is a calming effect, a mantra of prayer that it seems to be working for me. And I think it's something that has helped millions of people for thousands of years. And it's worth considering. You don't have to be Catholic, Protestant, anything. But it's a meditation, a form of meditation, I feel. It's very calming. So I just thought I'd offer that.
Faith and belief is a powerful thing in healing. I've heard people say, you know, they didn't call it, they didn't like the word faith. But you have to believe that you're going to get better. You have to believe in the diagnosis. You have to believe in the prognosis. You have to believe that you're going to get better, you know. And from where I come from, that's what faith means. Faith means that you're going to get better, you know, against all obstacles. That's what faith means. And you know, another person was calling it believe. And then I heard somebody else call it truth. And, you know, there's another word in there called hope. And to me, you go and you mix your emotion of faith with, you know, hope, and you believe, and then you got something going on there, you know? And you can mix the words up how you want, but to me, they all work in unison. They all go together. Now, if somebody, you know, gets upset because you say faith and they think that's only for the Christian faith, no, they've got different faiths around the world and they use that same word faith in it. There's nothing wrong with using the word faith. It is a good word.
I used to live near a park, and there was I don't know what his faith religion was, but it was one of those, maybe a Vedanta. But he was sitting yoga style in the park with his little cymbals, clicking his cymbals. Well, that annoyed me. I thought, I don't want to hear your noise. It wasn't noise to him. It was a mantra that he was saying while he was clicking the cymbals. And
that might have been Eckhart Tolle.
That's his rosary bead. That was like
that's right.
me with my rosary bead. The symbols and his mantra.
Yeah.
It would be an he might say that was his meditative, that was his way of meditating.
That was his faith, yeah. Awesome. You know, and I respect everybody's faith. You know, I'm friends with a lot of people that, you know, love nature, Mother Nature, and I don't know what all you call it, but I love nature. I love getting out in nature and letting the sun shine on me and getting the energy from it when I walk, letting the energy come up through the ground and go through my feet. There's things I've learned in the last 2 years that I didn't know, you know, and I'll continue to learn, and I'll continue to learn. And the more and more I learn it, the stronger I get in my faith. And if TMS healing can help anybody get stronger in their faith, whatever their faith is, then that's a beautiful thing. Because to me, each faith has its own beautiful qualities. And nobody needs to ever take away from, you know, where they were born and what they grew up learning, and take it and let it help you through this. That's the whole talk about our book, you know. Let what you
Abraham Lincoln said he didn't believe in organized religion because he went to church with his wife and kids, you know, and he would see the hypocrites having their Sunday religion, but they were hypocrites. He said they weren't paying the bills, and he was hired by the storekeepers to take them to court. And these were supposed to be living the golden rule, but he said he didn't believe in organized religion, but he believed in God, and he said he found God in nature, taking walks looking around at the plants and animals and the sun and the sky. So that's where he found his peace.
This beautiful Walt.
He was a great man.
Okay, anybody else want to talk about faith before I go? I'm going to go into a list of about 2 pages long of what it takes, or it should be, hopefully 6 or 7 of these will be what it is for you that it takes. But the whole idea of doing this is, because this is our last show, is to sort of sum up what we went through in the book, the techniques, the ideas, the concepts. But then again, it would take me a week to call out all the stuff that's in this book. So this is what I plan on wrapping it up with, is these two. I love calling them twos. I put another set of twos today on the TMS Wiki, and I call it my 911 twos part two. And what I done was I added in a friend of mine named Ace One. He's a doctor from another site, but it took him probably 6 months to get that list put together. I think he's got 29 steps on that list. But if anybody on the phone here, anybody listening, gets to go to TMS Wiki, look under, you know, Ace One, type it in the search engine and find his steps, because I added that to my toolbox because I want everybody to know that the whole idea of Ace's steps is about learning how not to be so tensed all the time, learning how not to be so pressured all the time on yourself. And that sounds so simple the way I say it, but when you read those 29 steps, you'll understand a lot more about what it takes to heal than a lot of things you've heard. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there.
That sounds great, Herbie. Really wonderful. I'll look at that tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Walt. And I also put Don Miguel Ruiz, his 4 agreements. I also put those on there in post. I thought it was beautiful the way he put them on there. And I think if you combine all of that, Don Miguel Ruiz.
How do you spell the last name?
R-U-I-Z.
Herbie, you know how you have that list of some of your favorite posts in the bottom of your signature? Maybe we can add the two 911 posts to that. That'd be good.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Of course, it'll be about 6 pages long, but it'll work.
It's all good. I'm just really loving listening to you and listening to Walt, and I'm trying to hang back a little bit and just let you do your thing.
I think it's good for us to combine, you know, learn. Really learn your teachings. Learn whatever it is that you know, we've talked about the people that says, well, I read Steve's book and I read it last week. And then somebody else said, well, I read Healing Back Pain and I read it 3 days ago and I read it in 3 days. And I know it, everybody on this phone right now, everybody on this phone knows, take your time and get those twos down. Okay, I love calling them twos. But there's more twos out there, guys. You know, we got Claire Weeks twos. We got Abraham Lowe's twos, you know, and there's so many other twos. Alan Gordon's twos, my gosh, I mean, they're awesome, you know. Like I said last week, anybody that comes in that hasn't gotten better yet, I always tell them to go and check out Alan Gordon's program. But anyway, I put together some stuff here, and it's pretty much, hopefully, it'll be something to help you as we end the show. And if anybody's got any questions before I start this, then ask away now.
Looking forward to hearing what you got.
Okay, well, the first one is basically getting right back to the core of what our good friend Steve Osnich taught us, and it's getting your relationships back is a must, okay? Getting back, you know, with nature, you know, getting your relationship back with your hobbies, getting your relationship back with your family. You might have had a sister you hadn't talked to in 10 years. You know, make sure you're ready, you know, but get your relationships, the life back. Most of us We don't never go out no more. Most of us just stay home all the time. We don't never do anything. You know, get your relationships back. You know, that's the first one. And the next one that I got it down here is meditation. You know, I like to help people on my Facebook and give them hints on what to do. And sometimes some of them tell me that they don't meditate. And we got the autonomic nervous system, and it's all day long. Our autonomic nervous system is not all the time, but it does. It hits the fight, freeze, you know, and flight scenarios through the day, because it can't tell the difference if you're really fighting or if you're watching a fight on TV. It's according to how you're feeling on the inside. But at the same time, when you do your meditations, it calms that part of your body down. It calms the autonomic nervous system down that's been, you know, exposed to all of that all through the day. So if you're a goodist and a perfectionist, and just say you got, you know, the inner critic and the inner bully going off on you all day, that's just like as if your boss is over you screaming at you or whatever. You already got those emotions going. So take that 20 minutes, you know. I was watching TV yesterday, and they had a study on a group of about 15 people. I don't know the name of the study. It was on the news here. But they did just 20 minutes of meditation a day, just 20 minutes. And in 3 days, every person in the group was feeling a lot better and a lot less stressed, okay? So, you know, if you're not good at meditation, I don't believe any of us were starting out. I don't believe any of us were that great starting out. But it is very important to calm down the autonomic nervous system. Another thing to calm down the autonomic nervous system is your breathing. You know, there's so many of us that's uptight and tense all the time. We breathe just in to the top of our lungs, you know, and you need to breathe on down into your belly. And I love a chapter that Walt wrote. He explains how you breathe into your belly, and I can picture it when he says the belly goes out like a balloon, and then it comes back in. And I'm thinking, well, if you got a real, real tight belly, I don't know if it goes out like a balloon, but it should go out. But anyway, it's good to get that deep breathing in and to get the oxygen through your body, and it really does help you feel better. I do it all the time to help me just calm down if I ever get an anxious feeling. And I do. I do get anxious feelings. We all do. And when you do the deep breathing, it will really, really help to anxiety and stuff like that, okay? The next one is learn to live without fear. Oh, ain't that huge? You know? And we was talking last week about Balto's story. And I went back and I read another part of his story today, and he was talking about how fear was the main culprit that was keeping him in pain. He had read the books, and then he'd read Dale Carnegie, and then he said he got 50% better with Dale Carnegie, and then he went and read Dr. Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain, and then he read Claire Weeks, Hope and Help for Your Nerves. And I think it took him a period of a year, year and a half, or whatever. But he finally realized that it was the fear. It was everywhere he
fear
went,
is huge.
He feared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He feared everything, everywhere he went. He feared it. And he got in his mind, and after he read Claire's book, he knew that he was doing it to himself. He knew then. Of course, he done read, you know, Dale Carnegie, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, and Healing Back Pain, Dr. Sarno, and then he read Claire Weeks' book, and then he started to understand that the main culprit in all of it was the fear. Everything he done was fear. Everything. Every night he came in, he was in fear. Every day he went to work, he was in fear. He was always wore out. He was always tired. And the list of the symptoms that Balto had was a list of a little like 100 things there. I mean, just going through it was like going through the section in Steve's book, what all he went through. So, you know, learn to reframe your thoughts on fear. And I like the way this Rhonda Byrne, I think that's her name, Rhonda Byrne, or I think that's the way you say it. She said, don't even focus on the fear. She said, think about thoughts of peace, thoughts of love, thoughts of happiness. You know, and it, then it kind of puts you in a place where you don't have to fight fear, you know. But at the same time, I know how it can be with anxiety, and especially anxiety attacks, panic attacks. So this is where I, you know, say focus on Claire Weeks' books and what she says about that, and learn floating. Learn how to float through that, okay?
And anyway, let me say, for anyone who's interested in Dale Carnegie, I will try to remember to do this, but there's videos on YouTube of the how to stop worrying and start living, of the audio book of that. So if anyone is interested in that, you can check it out there.
Yeah, he'll speak the whole book to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's okay for us, I could probably put it in an off topic or something tomorrow.
Sure. Whatever you think is best. Yeah.
Okay. And guys, this is what I got from Walt. And Walt, I think Walt knows it by now. He's a huge factor in helping me get better. Learn to laugh, man. You know? We
right.
us people.
Don't take life so seriously. Yes, that's one of the big problems we all have.
We take
it all so seriously.
We're so serious all the
time.
But if we lighten up,
that's part of the project I'm working on, self-compassion. Be self-compassionate by lightening up on ourselves. Don't worry. Don't take life so seriously.
Yeah, and I still want to thank you for those comedies that you sent me. I wrote a post called The Lady Eve. That wasn't the name of the post, but that should have been the name of the post. But
that movie is one of the funniest romantic movies. It's just I laugh every time I see it. Barbara Stanwyck and Henry Fonda, and it's just hilarious. it's on DVD. You can get it from Netflix. But it is just one of the funniest movies you'll ever watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the lady had some type of love spell over Henry Fonda, and she's not no witchery or nothing. She just was a real beautiful woman, and Henry Fonda saw her, and when he saw her, he was just head over heels through the whole movie. He was just head over heels in love for her, and then she would up and leave him. But it was a real funny movie. From what I think, 1937 or 47.
No, it's about 1940 or 41.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
And,
yeah, learn to laugh, guys. Even if you got to do fake laughter to get yourself to laughing, do it. And when your kids...
Something I do, you know.
That was in one of your chapters, Walt.
Something funny to laugh at. And it really helps. Takes your mind... You can't be unhappy and worried and laugh at the same time. It's impossible. So you choose one or the other. And I choose laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And and the next one is to begin some form of exercise, okay? I mean, I know some people, you know, like myself, I couldn't even get out of bed. But my form of exercise started with me getting up and walking 15, 20 feet at a time, okay? My form of exercise started with me walking outside to the porch and getting back in the house, okay? My form of exercise, after probably about 2 or 3 weeks of that, it consisted of throwing a horseshoe about 10 feet at a time, playing with one of my little 4-year-old nephews that could barely—he couldn't throw the horseshoe that far, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to throw the horseshoe no further than him because I was in too much pain. But the whole idea is keep moving forward. If you can get some type of little bit of progress each day, work on it. Okay, don't. You don't have to try
I'd like to suggest a real easy exercise that is a Tai Chi and Qi Gong exercise. And it's very simple. You just stand up and move your hands with your arm and your hands back and forth behind you and in front of you. And they said that it's just wonderful for the lungs, for relaxation, for the immune system. It's just a multi-benefit exercise. And the yoga person or the Tai Chi person said, try to do it 15 minutes a day. You can do it standing still or walking. Swing your hands and your arms behind you and in front of you, just like a wind, you know, half a windmill. And it's an amazing and simple, wonderful exercise.
Interesting.
Okay.
Sounds meditative.
Yes, yeah. It does. It's
yeah,
good.
It's kind of, you can do it while you're meditating, sure. Sure.
Awesome.
It's very calm.
The next one is seems to be sometimes like the hardest one, and it does take a lot of practice, and it goes like this. Control your emotions by controlling your thoughts, okay? Use visualizations in your imaging so you can see your goals and act on them, okay? I want to go back to the first one right quick. Control your emotions by controlling your thoughts. We all know that if you get a bad thought in your mind and you focus on that bad thought, next thing you know, you're going to be feeling it in your body. You're going to be feeling terrible, okay? How do you control that thought? Get your mind on a better thought, okay? And I know that there's going to be thoughts that's going to get in your mind, and you just ain't going to be able to shake them for the time, okay? That might be a good time to focus on your emotions, you know? But at the same time, learn how to, you know, it's sort of like what Alan Gordon said, he heard it from somebody. I don't know who actually said it. The train. It's sort of like a train pulling up. Mm-hmm. And when the train pulls up, you know, and it starts to leave, you can either get aboard or you can stay there, you know? And sometimes you just have to let these stresses, these triggers, these bad thoughts that we have in our minds, sometimes, you know, because a lot of times if you get a trigger, if you think about it, all of a sudden you'll get a bad thought. And if you just let those thoughts just float by, okay, then and just kind of take it easy. Some people say count to 10 or whatever. You know, you might have to do that. But after a while of reconditioning, reprogramming, which means the same thing, then you'll be able to control, you know, what you're thinking about. I think there's another person that calls it clean thinking. But anyway, that's important, guys, okay? I said last week, some of the last things that I got rid of was conceited thoughts. And those conceited thoughts was, you know, what am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? What is that person thinking about me? And, you know, and stuff like that. And I knew those thoughts wasn't no good, but they were still there. I was still having to control them. I was still having to work with them. I was still having to fix them. But the thing was, I stayed with it. I stayed with it. I stayed with it. And the day I got control of them. Okay? So, you know, I want everybody to know I lost the pain before I got rid of that part. But I knew that part was causing anxiety, okay? Because to me, anxiety could be, and probably everybody listening, anxiety can be just as bad as the pain when it really hits you bad. So, it'll be a good reason.
And if you don't fix those thoughts, then the symptoms are going to come back later on. So, I think you're exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, you'll have it just move to another part of your body. Mm-hmm. The pain will just move to another part of your body. Okay. Use the affirmations. Okay, good. Okay, one of them I love. I'm calm, relaxed, patient, confident. That was an affirmation I picked up from a book, John Kehoe. And you say that affirmation over and over and over. I probably said it 10,000 times. I started feeling that. I started feeling that I was calm, relaxed, patient, confident. You can actually put a word here and there with it if you please. But just saying affirmations, good, short affirmations that can help you. Because really, guys, you know, we can use affirmations, words, help us soothe.
I can do this. It's a piece of cake.
Yeah, that's Walt. It's a piece of cake. You know, that's awesome. You can write down.
It really is. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. You can write down your affirmations if you please. You can imagine them and visualize them. Okay? You can, like I said, you can affirm it. And you can act as if it's already true. Okay? So there's all kind of different ways to do affirmations. But I just wanted to hit on that. And don't focus on the pain. Focus on other things. That's TMS's biggest lie, biggest trick. It wants us to focus on that pain. Wherever it's at, it was in the shoulder, now it moved to my left foot. Oh man, it's the TMS. You need to know that when it moves, it's the TMS. And if it's in the left foot, focus on your right foot. If it's in your right foot, focus on your left shoulder. Focus on anything but that pain, right, Forrest?
Yep.
Change it up, you know? Just know these tricks of the trade. This is stuff that's going to help you get better. We got other forms of focusing I'm not going to go into just yet. But anyway, do feel your emotions and be with them. Don't run from them. Then change your focus to something good and powerful, a great memory. Go and have a good time. Okay, I mentioned that earlier, but I just wanted to mention it again. That, you know, like I was talking about earlier, if you're journaling or if you're thinking about something from the past or whatever, and you just can't seem to, you know, get out the words for it, but you do got that emotion in your body, then go ahead and focus on your feelings, okay? Focus on your emotions. And usually that'll help a lot in making the emotions weaken, okay? You learn that through the Island Going program. You learn it in mindfulness. You learn it through Eugene Gillen's focusing and so forth, okay? And we can't forget Eckhart Tolle. Stand the now, guys. I mean, of course, this ain't Eckhart Tolle. I think it goes all the way back to Lao Tzu. Maybe even further, several thousand, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years. I mean, if y'all know as much as I do. You think in the past, you get anxiety. You think in the future, you get fear. But if you think in the now, stand in the now, then it's a powerful thing. You know, if you are going to think in the future, if you are going to think in the past, think on good things. I mean, you're not going to always be able to think on good things. We know that, guys. We know that. But, you know, just do the best you can do. That's all anybody can ask, right?
Yep.
Okay. Learn what tense of thinking is. I say learn what tense of thinking is, and I know everybody on this phone should pretty much know what tense of thinking is. Again, when I mentioned what tense of thinking is, that's when you're going out there. You're going to get out, you're going to pump your gas, and the gas pump ain't going quick enough, and you get an ill. You're already, you know, conditioned that, you know, you're pumping in $10-$15 worth of gas, and it should have already been in there, and you had to be headed out 5 minutes ago. That's tense of thinking. You know, you're driving up before you get home. You're already thinking about the bad things that's going to happen when you walk in the door, you know. The kids are going to just jump all over you, and they're going to ask a million things for you to do, and then you're going to have to go out and do 95 things that night for everybody. That's all tense of thinking, guys. We got to learn to not do that. You know, if anything, think of the way you want it to be before you get wherever you're at. If you're sitting there pumping the gas, you know, just focus on something good. Okay? Everybody knows who Tony Robbins is, and he had 3 hours. He was on a 3 hour, he's supposed to only been traveling for 30 minutes, and he wound up traveling for 3 hours, and he got lost in Russia. And while he was doing that, and while he was doing it, he sat there and he wrote out in that 3 hours his map of his life and the way he was going to change his whole life, and he went by that. And nowadays we know him as a great, you know, teaching guru that gets people out there to be at their best. So just remember, we can make the best with whatever we have at time. We don't always have to be tensive about things, okay? Oh, and Ace One Steps, that's on the wiki there, they're great to teach you how to get around that conditioning of tensive thinking, okay? Make peace with the inner child. Okay? A lot of times, the inner bully and the inner critic, a lot of times we don't know that we can go and we can speak to this inner child. We can go and we can talk to the bully. Like the bully might be saying, well, you should have done that and you should have done this. And you can turn around and ask the bully, well, why are you saying that? Or you can tell it to shut up. You can, it's your mind. It's your body. But we do got these different parts on the inside of us that came from our family, came from bad times and all of this. But you can learn to make friends and make peace with the inner child, with the inner bully, with the inner critic. You can learn to work around those, okay? And just get the twos to do it. We got them. We got the twos. We got the twos. The Alan Gordon program, the TMS recovery program, is real good for that. Okay, the next one, I think I said it just a minute ago. Don't try to fight fear or anger. The more you fight the fear and anger, what happens? It grows. It gets stronger. Okay? Just be in flow, guys. Float through these emotions and relax. Don't tense up. The cure is on the other side of facing these emotions in a calm, relaxed manner. Now, how many people in an anxiety attack is going to be in a calm, relaxed manner? That's the whole point. You have to, you might have the first few trials might be rough. It might be tough on you. But the thing is, the more you do it, the more you learn how to relax, the more you learn how to deep breathe, the more you learn how to be in a calm mood and don't fear the fear that's coming on with that, then you'll learn more and more how not to be fighting against the fear. You see? Because when you fight against the fear, it just fuels it. It just, you know, because we've been, a lot of people with anxiety anyway, or, you know, most intensive thinkers, we try to run from things like that, okay? And when you do your meditations, practice peaceful meditations, peaceful, relaxing meditations. And like I said, mindfulness meditation is the way to go, okay? But, you know, I've also heard the transcendental meditations. It's got some great reviews. So try different meditations. Do what's comfortable to you. You know? Say your affirmations. Say affirmations that you feel. Okay? Remember that. Say affirmations that you feel. Okay? If I'm going to say I'm calm, if I'm going to say I'm relaxed, if I'm going to say I'm confident and in peace, then I'm going to feel each one of those emotions before I go to the next. That's how I've conditioned myself. Okay? So remember to feel the affirmations that you say. Because really, any affirmation is any emotion you're having at any time. Okay? So remember that.
That's good advice, buddy.
Yeah. And then, you know, look, some of the main things that you learn when you first start Dr. Sarno's books is learn what your triggers and your stresses are. That's why he's wanting you to write down your past and your present and your traits. He's wanting you to understand what the triggers and the stressors are, okay? And so many of us get into there thinking it's just, you know, what does he want me to write all this for? He's wanting you to get in there and learn what your triggers and stressors are, guys. He's wanting to know what is it that's setting you off? What is it that you're unknowingly unconscious to that's really getting to you, okay? So don't think that the good doctor didn't know, you know, when it comes to that part. So maybe, you know, for some people, that might be helpful. And especially if you've been through a lot of trauma, okay? And learn tapping. Tapping's good. Tapping's great. I love tapping. I do tapping right now if I wouldn't be making sounds. But it's been proven. It's been proven that it works. It's had studies on it. And it's good. It's good. Focus on it being TMS, and you have nothing to worry about. I love that what Forrest wrote to a guy named Emery in our book, that he didn't go doing all the journaling, he didn't go and doing all of the unnecessary stuff for him. He went and he focused on, hey, this is TMS. You know, and I'm going to move on with my life. And as time went by, he got better. So, you know, it ain't always having to learn a million things. Sometimes, you know, we all know Forrest is knows a lot, okay? Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but when he was healing, but wasn't that your main way? Just knowing it was TMS and moving on with your life?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Controlling my, and just not worrying about it. Learning to put it out of my mind and not care about it.
There you go.
Forrest?
Mm-hmm.
It's Joan. How long did you suffer with your pain?
About 18 years.
Yeah, that's a long time for it to sit in.
Amazing, yeah.
Keep going though, Herbie, because...
heard of it that fast. With the
ability. Well, I'm
very lucky that way, yeah.
I got another question for us. You know, with doing what you did, how long did it take you to get better? Or for not, you know, to start getting rid of all the pain you was going through?
Well, I didn't write it down, unfortunately, and that was about 5 years ago, but I'd say about 2 months would be my bet. Now, I don't want to claim that I never have any symptoms, because I do occasionally have symptoms, but I'd say that's about how long it took me to get my life back.
Gotcha. And see, I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, or right before the show started, that even after you get better, like I said the other day, I was walking, felt a pain in my foot. But see, now I've got my armor. Now I've got all the twos, which there's hundreds of more twos that I didn't even mention here. But to me, this is like, you know, a list of some of the main ones, that I know that I can look at and use, and I don't have, just like Forrest, I don't have to worry. If it's going to turn into anything. You know, now if I get a pain or something, I think, that ain't nothing. You know? I was watching a movie the other night called In the Middle, and the wife looks over at the husband, and she says, well, you're always, you don't never, nothing's never wrong with you. And then it showed him, I think he popped his shoulder out of socket. And then he walks over to the wall, and he busts it back in place, you know? And believe me, that's not mere force right there. I'm sure if we knocked our shoulders out of socket, then we would go get it fixed. But at the same time, you have to kind of take on a thought line that just because I'm having this pain over here in my knee, it doesn't mean nothing bad. It, you know, of course, you know, get checked out by your doctor and stuff. But at the same time, I'm not, with knowing I have TMS and I have a TMS personality and that I know that this is 100% what it is. If I ever get a pain anywhere, I don't focus on it. I don't give it my attention. I don't feed it and I don't fear it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's pretty much it. That sums it up, for what I have, Forrest.
Well, that sounds great. There was so much wisdom in there, and you really summed it up really well. That was good stuff.
I agree.
Good wrap up.
Eric, you did a wonderful job on that.
Mm.
Thank you, Walt.
Yep. It's past my bedtime, way past, so I would say goodnight.
And mine too.
It was just wonderful tonight. It was just great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
It'll be an audio worth listening once a week at least.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Moss Mom. Glad everybody called in. And God bless you guys.
Good night,
partner.
Bless you too.